Hello and welcome to this week's African Media with me, Clea Broadhurst. Today we'll take a look at the media coverage and its limits in Burundi. News is in short supply in Burundi after the government shut down radio stations 8 months ago following the attempted coup in May 2014. Today, most station managers and reporters have fled into exile. The journalists who stayed on hardly ever go out because of the climate of terror and fear of being arrested or worse. However, a collective of journalists emerged within 48 hours of the destruction of the radio stations last year. SOS Media Burundi is now one of the only information outlets for those in search of news. Its network of journalists and trusted sources continues to provide anonymous coverage of events in the country. SOS Media Burundi works almost exclusively through social media networks, such as Twitter, Facebook, and SoundCloud. I've spoken to a journalist based in Bujumbura who is part of the initiative. He wishes to remain anonymous for security reasons. He explains the pros and cons of using social media.
For me, I think it's important. Social media have now played a great role, because after the closure of independent media in Burundi, now everyone is consuming social media. And as I have been saying, social media can also be used in a bad way by both sides, government and opposition, people lying. But these days it is very important that the social media are very used and play a great role, because some areas, some places, for example, where police go and the search, in that time no one can get in, but people inside, inhabitants, can just write messages and send them to friends, and the friends can also convey them to other friends and spread to the whole world. Sometimes they do explain how people have been arrested, for example, and then it can help in this or that way.
He explains how he sometimes feels threatened when doing his job.
I fear for my life sometimes, but I think this period, even the government side, they do need the journalists. You know, without the journalists, without media, the traditional media, I mean, because traditional media, they have responsibles who can be sued in justice, or who can be responsible of this or that act when a fault or an error is committed. I think Burundian government also need journalists on the ground, and it is in their interest to have a journalist who can report on what is going on, because without journalists, the government can be accused by its opposition of anything, and using, for example, social media opposition.
He explains what kind of threats he gets when he's out reporting in the capital city.
There are some agents from security forces. When you meet them on the ground, they do question you. Sometimes they do insult you. Sometimes they say, you support insurgency, but thank God there's many police and other agents from army, even intelligence guys. When an event happens somewhere, they understand that is our right to go and cover the event.
Reporting on the ground proves difficult, but most of all dangerous. This journalist explains his daily struggle.
The most dangerous thing is to be in an area where police or military are searching weapons, for example, because there are some fighters who can throw or just begun shooting, and then at that time you don't know who can shoot you or whatever can happen to you in that kind of situation. It's the most dangerous moment.
But he also explains why he doesn't want to stop reporting despite the constant danger.
I think it's both my responsibility, both of our journalists and Burundi to prevent my other citizens, the population of Burundi and the whole world to keep on consuming rumors about Burundi. You know, when you know that now independent media I have been obliged to close, they have been bombed after the attempt of coup. So today, I think both as a Burundi and a journalist, I feel responsible of reporting truth and reality so that people not keep on consuming rumors, because for me, rumors kill. And when there is a lack of information, lack of media, people have no other thing to do. They have no other option, but they do spread rumors.
He says it's about time the government saw it was in its best interest to allow journalists to do their job properly in Burundi.
Today, media or journalists constitute tools for government also to show what is going on, but also how things are, because without media, anyone can just claim to be a journalist and give any kind of information. And they know people, for those who are not professionals, people can know exactly to make a difference between a true and a false information. It's why I think there is no need for the government now to keep on crushing journalists. I think it is now the time, more than in other situations, for the government of Burundi to let journalists do their job professionally, but also freely.
One of the project coordinators, who also asked to remain anonymous, explains that the platform was created right after the failed coup. Since public broadcasting had been destroyed, journalists felt the need to continue covering the ongoing crisis in Burundi. He explains the means they use to do their job on the ground.
Il y a eu une nécessité de continuer de couvrir cette crise burundaise.
There was a need to continue covering what was going on in Burundi with journalists that used to work for the now closed media outlets.
Donc il y a un groupe qui s'est constitué.
So some journalists got together, and since we didn't have microphones anymore, no more studios where we could express ourselves, what was left were smartphones.
Il nous restait des smartphones.
So we used smartphones to provide content to our websites and on Twitter, Facebook, SoundCloud. We produce a lot of sounds because we all used to work for radio, so we have established a number of tools in order to provide the best coverage of the crisis.
Claire Kanswerber, the head of the Reporters Without Borders African desk, explains how SOS Media Burundi is her go-to when it comes to getting the most accurate information.
It's one of the pages, of course, that I consult very, very frequently every day to find out what the latest developments are. Obviously, it's as I said, it's raw information, so it's a fragmented view, but yet you can see when there were attacks on certain neighborhoods. They've also been able to report on the ongoing trial of the generals involved in the putsch. So it is a very important source of information, and I know that many diplomatic representations and other organizations also use it to have a better idea of what is happening in Bujumbura.
She explains how important the role of SOS Media Burundi is, especially when journalists are being targeted in Burundi.
The first element of their security is to remain anonymous in the work that they do, because they're still in Burundi for some of them, and they obviously would face huge threats and even more than that if they were to be known publicly. The situation in Burundi right now for journalists is that journalists are arrested arbitrarily, often because they are journalists, so they're identified and targeted. We had the case just recently of a person who was taken off a bus because the people arresting him knew that he was a journalist, and then he was tortured for a whole day in a police station. So just to say that being identified as a journalist in Burundi today is very dangerous, and anonymity is the condition that those journalists have to continue working. Through mobile phones, just recording the news, recording what is happening on the ground. They do not, from what I saw, engage in editorial commentary. They're just reporting the facts, and those are facts that we would not have access to if they were not there to do their job. job.
And this brings us to the end of this week's magazine. Thank you for listening and join us next week for another edition of African Media.